Hi, my name is Blaine Moores. I'm an associate professor of biochemistry at the University of Oklahoma Health Sciences Center in Oklahoma City. I'm going to talk about the use of Emacs to edit live notebook, Jupyter Notebook cells, as well as text areas on web pages. So like a lot of technical workers, I find myself having to write prose in text areas on web pages, as well as working with code in Jupyter notebooks and Colab notebooks. Often I have wished for the full power of Emacs while doing so. Well, now that is possible. Actually, there are several solutions that have been available for some time. I'm going to talk about one solution that I'm familiar with and has worked out for me. So this requires the use of two software packages, GhostText and Atomic Chrome. GhostText is an extension for the web browser, whereas Atomic Chrome is a package for Emacs. You have to have both of these. So Chrome is for the editor side and GhostText handles the browser side. The GhostText extension is available in the Chrome web store, and GhostText is represented by this icon, which has a ghost in front of the capital letter T. It is being developed by Federico Brigante. He is a very prolific JavaScript developer. He has a web page committed to GhostText as well as a GitHub site. So here's an example of GhostText. So this is a snapshot from a session that I had while editing LaTeX on the Overleaf website. So Overleaf is this web service that empowers the editing of LaTeX documents on the web. So I have clicked on this GhostText icon in the toolbar, had already opened up Emacs, and I had the Atomic Chrome server running. So a connection was established, as indicated by this blue border around this text area. And as soon as that appeared, the text appeared in a buffer inside of Emacs. So I have overlaid the area where normally the compiled PDF would appear in a Overleaf session. So I'm using a configuration for LaTeX that I developed, which is available through the Moores Lab GitHub site. I also gave a talk about how I use LaTeX in Emacs at the Berlin Emacs meetup in August. This talk was not recorded, but the slides are available on this website. So I would like to now switch to a little live coding to make this a little more interesting. So I start my day at this other website called 750 Words. This site just takes plain text, but I like to write in LaTeX. So GhostText came to my rescue when I started using this every day last May. So I clicked on that GhostText icon, it highlighted that area in blue, and there's some boilerplate that I like to start my day with. I like to get a list of my deadlines that are coming up, as shown here, for the next several months. And then I have landed at this tab stop. And so I had issued a tab trigger, which inserted this almost 50 lines of text from a snippet in, through Yas snippets. And then, you know, I'll change this to what this text to whatever, and then I can hit tab to move to the next site. I was dead tired last night, so I fell asleep on my desk. And you know, whatever. So I just keep on going, and then hit tab again and enter my to be done items. And then, you know, what I love about Emacs is that you can hit Control C, Control J to insert a new item. and so forth. So you can extend the list. Initially, I just have 10 items. We have more, and on I go, using the full power of LaTeX. So I have configured Atomic Chrome, so it will recognize this website as a, it will open up this website, the connection to this website with this buffer in the LaTeX major mode. To turn this off, we would we can close, simply just close the buffer, and that will shut things down. On the browser side, you can right click on the icon and disconnect ghost text on this page. Okay, let's go to a different site, different situation. This is not a feature that's advertised by the developer, but I discovered that you can edit code cells, or any kind of cell for that matter, in a Jupyter notebook. However, we have a challenge here. We have three text areas open, three code cells. So if we click on the ghost text icon, these three areas will show up in green, and we'll be prompted to select the one that we want to activate. We want to activate the one with text. So then we can go in here and you know, make edits, of course, and you can do this in Emacs, or we can do it in the browser. It doesn't matter. You saw me editing in Emacs, but we can also make the edits in the text area of the browser, and they will show up immediately in Emacs. So we could change the case of that M, and that's gonna shows up over here. Okay, we can run this code. So this is R. So, you know, one of the three major programming languages for data science, at least the Jupyter is supposed to be a combination of Julia, Python, and R. So we're running MCMC to get the posterior distribution, and we're going to plot that those out with this PyPlots package. And we have these beautiful plots showing the median of the posterior distribution for four variables, in four parameters in the CARS data set, which is available or built into the R package. And then these shaded areas are the 80% interval. Okay. Oops. So now for the Python side, here's an example in which I'm going to actually insert a snippet. Click that cell, and then I'm going to enter NVLIG for NGL view ligand, and just hit enter. Oops. Tab, excuse me, and we don't need this line of code, so delete that, and get, we want to load up this PDB file. It's in this subdirectory. So the PDB file is plain text file that contains atomic coordinates of protein crystal structure. This protein happens to be important in cancer, and we have we screened by docking 55,000 compounds on a supercomputer. And then we did MD simulations of the top 10 leads. 12 of them had the compound remain bound during the period of the simulation. So those have some potential for and require experimental validation. So we'll run this chunk of code, and this will give a view of the molecule that we can interact with in by using the mouse to. But I want to share this with my colleague. My colleague does not, is not set up to use Jupyter, but instead we can write this out into a HTML file, which I have loaded up already. And so we can actually, we click on these two arrows pointing at each other, we can get a full screen view of this molecule, and he can find the identify each atom in this structure amongst about over 1,000 atoms present by just hovering over a specific atom. So shown in gray is the ligand that is bound. Okay, so we still have this box selected, and we still have these two different, so for each of the our selected text areas, we have a separate buffer open. Okay, to now to wrap things up here, here's an example of using with an evolving Julia code. And so this Julia code in this cell is in a Emacs buffer. So you've got the idea now, I think. So in terms of plain text areas, like in Overleaf, and then these cells in Jupyter Notebooks, these are other areas that can be edited, like in the text areas within Outlook, Webmail, and Gmail. Instead of having to point with the mouse or click with the mouse, one can also use key bindings or keyboard shortcuts. So here are the ones for three major operating systems. So how does Ghost Text work? Well, the main thing is you have to open up Emacs and get this Atomic Chrome server running. And then with it up and going, Ghost Text will be able to, has to be activated, and it will find the Ghost Text server through the local host port 4001. If you put that into the web browser, if you navigate to that port, you'll get output that looks like this, if everything's working well. Otherwise, you'll get an error message, and it should have a port socket, a web socket port number. It will not be the same every time. So these are the supported web browsers, and in addition to Chrome, these are supported. And likewise, anything in these that any browser related to these will can probably use these extensions. For example, the Brave browser will use the Chrome extension, and the Firefox browser extension works with Waterfox. These are the supported editors. Each editor has its own extension, and this Ghost Text was initially developed for Sublime Text. So you if you have Sublime Text, then you can use its smooth operation as positive control when things go wrong with Emacs. This is Atomic. This is a GitHub site for Atomic Chrome. Atomic Chrome is available for installation through Melpa. This is my configuration for Atomic Chrome. So I have a setup so the server starts whenever I log in, and I have it set up so that default major mode is Python to deal with the Jupyter Notebooks and Colab Notebooks. And then I have the major modes for these other websites defined below. This is a testing site, so the developer has made to help with troubleshooting. He also has a protocol on his website to follow during troubleshooting. So here are some precautions. So you'll find that Ghost Text doesn't work with Pluto. Pluto is a new computational notebook that's for working with Julia. My suggestion would be just to run iJulia in Jupyter. It doesn't also doesn't work, of course, with RStudio, even though RStudio sort of resembles a web page, web browser. It's not. Of course, you can always run R, as you've just seen, using the IPy kernel. I will also caution you that if you use the Emacs server, you may run into issues with the server competing with the port 4001. So instead, you should probably configure the Emacs server to use a specific port. I've so far, although I haven't done that myself, so far I haven't found any conflicts with the org Rome user interface. So my conclusions are GhostText allows you to edit prose in your with your favorite major mode in the text areas of web pages and in the cells of Jupyter Notebooks. This allows you to tap into snippets and thereby save time, as you have probably have hopefully got the idea of. I'd like to thank my friends and mentors who've helped me out during my second year in my Emacs learning spiral. These include my local colleagues. We meet once a month in the Oklahoma Data Science Workshop. Last July, I gave a presentation about GhostText. And then also my friends at the Berlin and Austin Emacs meetups. And in the UK, research software engineer, MX research Slack channel. So I don't attend these every month, but I try to make the meetings as often as I can. And then I'm supported by the following grants, which allow me to spend at least some time each day in Emacs. I'll be happy to take any questions.